If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the infinite life that we are all embodiments of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Our Five Senses and Bodies Infinitely Expand Cosmic Creativity. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and merge with your immortal self. Just do it. You say your intention does it. Let's do that again. Deep breath. Merge with your immortal self. It's coming in very, very fiery, hot energy. Just notice what you're feeling. And now just, in your mind, think Hugh. And that immediately centers you in the center of your head, the seat of the soul. So this time, think you and see yourself seated like a golden child in the center of your skull. Or a golden Buddha, if you like. Now, just have a sense that you're expanding that golden presence in the center of your head. Just allow it to grow and expand beyond the confines of your physical body, beyond the confines of your place, wherever you're sitting. And if you're sitting in a room, just imagine the walls and the ceiling and the floor simply vanish. And now there's nothing to stop you from infinite expansion. Own the universe. It's your own creation. See the planet, the solar system, the galaxy itself, like a tiny little orb in the center of your luminosity. Wrap all that exists in your infinite love. And just keep expanding until everything is within you. Enclosed in your love. Faith in your divine presence. And turn your attention again to the center of your head by saying you, thinking you. And now let's chant the you out loud. Deep breath. You. And now whisper you. You. And now think you. And open your eyes and be present. You might notice that the room has taken on a golden glow. My room, I can barely see it. Everything has turned this golden, liquid golden light everywhere. Let your eyes be unfocused. Don't try to look like you normally would. Just kind of kick back and let your eyes kind of relax. Some of you may find your eyes start to turn upward a little. Some of you might find your eyes kind of half closed. Some of you might find your body starting to rock. Some of you might find that there's like currents of liquid gold pouring through your arms and your hands and your feet. Some of you might feel a little chill as that hot energy, that golden liquid light begins to course throughout. Notice everything. Put your attention in the center of your head. And try at the same time to listen out of both ears. Do you hear that ringing, singing? That's the living word. That's another manifestation of your own divinity. You are the living word, the only begotten. The idea of love within the heart and mind of the Supreme One, who, finding itself all alone, said, "Let me become many that I might know and bestow love." And so here we are. Ideas of love's bestowal. Take another deep breath. And allow that integration of that awareness just to settle very gently within you, according to your highest good and highest rate. Beloveds, we are remembering our self, our immortal self, back into here and now. Maybe you would like to repeat that with me. I am remembering my immortal self. Back into here and now. So this thing that we call realization, excuse me, self-realization, God-realization, is simply remembering what we've always been and remain forever. It's so common in this realm in which we mistake the attempt to become something as progression, to set that same mindset upon spiritual goals. So we'll set up these spiritual goals that then lock us into time and limitation. We simply waste time trying to become what we already are and remain still. Isn't that interesting? We just take our human goals and begin to tack them onto a spiritual path, imagining we have to become something that has a future to it and has a path of effort attached to it. It's a mindset that we have created and set up that is part of the ego's mechanism, which is designed to keep you seeking but never finding, striving but never attaining. And in this case, you're trying to attain something you already are, have always been, could never cease to be, and have forgotten in the process of your identifying yourself in time, personal self-definitions, and time-bound linear concepts of reality. In actuality, we but remember. Otherwise, we rejoin, we re-put together, we reappropriate in time that which we've always been in eternity. Does that make sense to you? Beyond the brain localized interpretation that we call time and space and linear concepts, beyond that little tiny interpretive part of the brain, is the immortal self we've always been. That divine life, more abundant, that life eternal, that creative brilliance. Sai Baba has said that we shine from every star. We are the brilliance, more magnificent than all the suns combined. That our power, 1 hour of the power latent within us at this moment, is sufficient to drive the entirety of cosmic creation infinitely. Just sit with that. Give it a little bit of space, or as much space as you can give it allow it to shift that sense, to turn upside down everything you've ever bought into and have been taught in school, from parents, from teachers, from media, from the past. Just put that aside and come with the openness of a little child that maybe for the very first time was taken way out into the desert, far from any city lights. And for the first time looked up and saw billions and trillions of worlds. And every single one of those worlds is inhabited by all manner of divine ideas of love, just like you and me. All created by the one supreme, it of itself. So each of our five senses has the ability of infinite, expansive appropriation. In other words, each of our senses continues to extend beyond our human levels of understanding into limitless quantum potentialities. Now, within the levels that we understand, we believe there's a certain linear lifetime that we're living right now, in one body, in a localized position within time space, operating within a certain grazing arena, let's say, of karma. And that's it. But what if that was something that we've been taught by spiritual masters that had not attained immortality consciously? They were still trying to become something that they already were, which is the case with almost every teacher. As I spoke of last week, there are groups of beings who have attained immortality, some of which have lived for so many thousands of years, it's beyond our imagining. And they are just starting to call us forward, for some of us are part of that lineage. And so what I'm saying tonight, you're going to resonate very much with, because it's time for the externalization of the deeper realities beyond what we have been conditioned to believe. And I'm being guided to share some of these things more and more openly as the great adepts and masters come forward into our modern world, unannounced, unrecognized. You can only recognize them if you're one of them, or if they allow you to see. We have to have the eyes to see. So we are, as we sit right now, wherever we are, just expand your sense of yourself to realize that you are a many and one. being. That right now, as you sit wherever you are, there's a level of you that has always been omnipresent, which means you cannot not find yourself wherever you point as you look up in that star-lit sky with trillions of worlds. You shine as the brilliance of every one of them. Think big. Expand beyond the known. Enter the realm of the awe of a child. We think we know so much, but the beginning of true wisdom is when you realize you know nothing. This one who is speaking is under a transmission beam. Transmitting that which was encoded for you this evening to be transmitted. So each one of us here is a receiving and transmission instrument through which the one speaks. If it be truth that is appropriate for you, you will hear it and understand it. It goes beyond the words. It calls you forward in the place that you have asked to be awakened. So if you're not receiving, you might want to ask. We always find what we're looking for. Did you know that? We always find what we're seeking. Because the seeker and the sought are one. That which seeks you as an instrument through which to speak is immortal life itself. There is no life in this daily world. This is the realm of the walking dead. You have to be born again of the spirit to really be alive. That which you call the physical body, if you would look in it under a high-powered microscope, you would see that it's a bed of ions, like a fog. It's gravitationally entrapped life, entrapped light, that's under the material law of all material things, which is entropy. Entropy means it's not being energized by spirit, and so it has an obsolescence to it that causes it to age and decay and eventually die. When St. Francis said, "It is in dying that we are born to eternal life," what he was referring to is releasing that entropy, that trapped light, by the infilling of the life of the divine spirit. I'm going to have you do that right now. Take a deep breath. Be filled with the light of the living spirit now. Receive it. Yes, those chills you felt from the head to toe was the way that the Holy Spirit resonated in your electromagnetic field to let you know something was happening. So we have to trust those feelings, because when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's always a transcendental experience of elevation of some type. You don't feel the same. I'm going to have you do that again, because I would suggest, if you're interested, that you practice conscious infilling with the Holy Spirit by asking, evoking, and then taking a deep breath, because that's the breath of the living spirit that gives you life. It's God that's breathing you. God that's beating your heart. God that is listening through your ears. God that speaks through your mouth. God that touches through your hands. God that smells through your nose. God that tastes through your mouth. God that embraces with your love and your hugs. God alone. Is that which we are, now and forever? So now we're going to take a deep breath and receive of the Holy Spirit. That tingling you feel is the electrification of spirit. That is called centropy. And that is the life force that awakens every single bit of you and keeps illumining and remembering you back into your immortality, until one day there is only that in your awareness. You transcend that sense of being a body in a room, or in any form of confinement. And you find your heart begins to expand. How you can tell its spirit is that it awakens your love. Your heart comes alive. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel at home in yourself. Because your home, beloved, is love. Your grounding is love. Your healing is love. Your centering is love. Your liberation is love. It all begins and ends with love. But love without clinging, without agenda, without addictive demands that it be the way you want it. It's that love that loves for no reason. It has no season. It has no beginning. It has no ending. And it never changes, regardless of the outer conditions. It's sometimes called agape love. In Sanskrit, it would be param prema, supreme love, selfless love, pure love. And that is divinity. Nothing less than that. will merge you with your divine, immortal self. So all the experiences we have in time and space are but this. They are ways to release more and more againstness, more and more barriers, more and more objections. To the place that we're simply ready to receive the fullness of love. To do that, you have to realize that you've never left the heart of God. You have never sinned. You have never done anything wrong. You have never made a mistake. You have never even been here in any real sense. All of the rishis and mahatmas say the same thing. You but fell asleep and had a bad dream of being separate from love and far away from home. But it's just been a dream from which you are now awakening. This is your time. That's why you are listening intently. I'm speaking to you. It's your time to remember yourself back into who and what you have been forever and remain still. So realization is remembering, reassembling, reappropriating. That's all. It's not becoming. In fact, realization is as simple as watching the dawn. You don't see any effort in the sun. The act of watching a beautiful sunset stills the mind. A hush falls on creation, as for a moment we are swept into the simplicity of our immortal being. For a second we forget the world, and we're in the simple awe of a child. Oh! What a relaxation and relief it is to let go and simply be present. To simply take these words on faith. Give them wiggle room. Have tea with them. Hang out with them and the stars. What if you could just let all of the drama and the complications and the trying to get and trying to become and trying to maintain and trying to hold on to, if you just let all that go and allow the universe to act through you? Do you know how you can tell if you're being led by the divine spirit, or are you being pushed by your impatient monkey mind? What is prompting you to make a choice or an action in your life? Now, if it's that impatient and ever restless and ever discontented monkey mind or ego that's prompting you, pay attention. There will always be an element of againstness. There's something you're against that makes you want to leave wherever that is. There's an element of negativity. of avoidance, of flight and fight, that part of you. When that is present and you're not totally at peace, you are allowing your impatient monkey mind, your lower nature, to push you into taking an action. And when you do that, you know what happens? You're put right back in the same stew pot with different faces, maybe a different environment, but you have the same lessons staring you in the face. That's why people sometimes marry and marry and marry, and only the faces change, but it's the same karmic kit and caboodle. You know, it's the same issue, wearing new clothes. That's when you're allowing that lesser self that always has negativity. You know, it's a trying to change the outer when the problem is your inner. You're not at peace with yourself in that situation because it's reflecting to you things you need to deal with and resolve harmoniously within yourself. You can't change the outer person. You can only change the inner you and your approach and attitude. Now, how can you tell if it's the divine spirit that's guiding you? When it's the divine spirit, you're doing quite fine in your environment. Everything is flowing harmoniously. At least within you, maybe not outwardly, but you're at peace with it within yourself. When it's time to be moved from that situation, there is a confluence of positive openings that subtly align and open to you, directing each step. There's a synchronicity and an ease and flow. And usually, in my experience, you didn't realize you had a need before the answer shows up. It's interesting how that happens. So you don't even have to plan in any way or, make a tremendous effort to take care of yourself, because when you're in alignment with the divine spirit, spirit takes care of itself. Yeah, spirit takes care of itself. You don't have to worry about what you'll do, what you'll say, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, where you'll live. The divine spirit takes care of itself. And you are itself. You are an embodiment of the divine spirit. So after you have activated that physical body by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that's why you'll notice people that are very spirit-filled. They have a radiance about them. They look more youthful than their actual age. They usually have a glow underneath their skin. I know one of the masters had such a glow that he purposely dimmed it so that he could appear more ordinary and not draw comment. But some of these beings just glow. Unless, of course, they intend not to, for the obvious reason I just shared. They don't like to draw attention to themselves. You know, people who are driven by the ego, they want to be noticed. They want to be acknowledged. They want people to follow them. They want people to join their ashrams or their groups or whatever. They want people to croak their praises. But a real enlightened being wants none of those things. In fact, will do everything possible to escape would-be followers. They do not want followers. They don't want to be gurus. They don't want disciples. Why? Because they want you to stand in the confidence of your own divinity and not to rely upon anything outside of yourself. A true guru will want you to step into your own conscious godhood. That's what they're interested in. Not building their following or their ashram or their church or their whatever. Does that make sense to you? You see, there's a way of walking in the world where you don't need anything. You don't expect anything. You're not seeking anything. You're not trying to make anything happen. You are simply the living love and the living light of immortal life presenting. And not making any big deal, no claims, no brochures touting your gifts, none of that. Not charging lots of money for your workshops or whatever. It's interesting because a master, a real master, is taken care of. The entire universe rearranges itself to serve the servant of all life. Far better to be a servant than a master. Sai Baba told me, he said, mastership is ego. Mastership is ego. That's when you think you're a master. You think you're a guru. Ego. Sai Baba often says, platform heroes, spiritual zeros. So we can be very eloquent. We can have all the words down and be as empty as a tin can. So that's another thing you don't appropriate to yourself, is the labels that define and separate you from other people. That's another habit. We put on different clothes and we assume different names and we put on a spiritual persona. And that's another way we limit our immortal self and its ever-unfolding cosmic creativity. We self-define, and in the self-definition, we create a yet another barrier to be surmounted before we can expand. So what are we to do? Why don't you just be yourself? Relax and enjoy your life. Whatever is divinely designed for you will find you. You can't miss it. It can't miss you. You just have to be willing. Be really real. What does that look like? It looks like doing what you really want to do. Speaking the truth as you know it. Living a life that increases your happiness and well-being. Leaving others free to do the same thing without your interference. It looks like you being true to yourself. It looks like you having a word and a feeling that you can move on physically and feel clearer in so doing. You see, it's simple. Very simple. Now, as you have started in filling yourself with the centrifying energy of the Divine Spirit, everything else begins to be shown to you. That which is predestined to awaken begins to stir, begins to activate, begins to purify, begins to make room for itself in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your expression. And part of keeping that alive is romancing the beloved. You have to begin to relate, interact with that divine beloved. Create a relationship with the precious one within you, within your heart. Close your eyes and swoon in the presence. Part of this is generated by active prayer, active praise, active worship, divinely enrapturing music. The sound, the outer sound of worship, begins to stoke the fire of your divinity. So this is the time when congregational gathering, satsang, fostering and feeding that inner flame until it absolutely subsumes the entirety of your being. You become a flame of divine adoration. And then everything you wanted begins to come and unfold in a perfect way that doesn't make you crazy. It's gradual, it's normal, it's natural. It's like the dance of Salome, you know, the seven veils come off that have blocked the seven centers of energy in your physical body, chakras. And then what happens is that you begin to receive the inner teachings that come in through the living word, the sound current, the inner music, the ekshabd. You begin to receive the divine sounds. And the Holy Spirit begins to play you like a musical instrument, like a veena, like a flute. Every part of your body begins to replicate a divine sound. Your heart is like a drum. And then different parts of your body, like the throat, is a trumpet. And your chakras are like a seven-hold flute. And the divine breath begins to blow through you. The divine prana, the divine breath of God begins to breathe through you. And your whole body begins to make divine music. You begin to hear it within. You begin to ride that sound current. It begins to carry you beyond the phenomenal world and universes into the God realms beyond. And then you begin to awaken that knowing. That body of knowing begins to awaken, and your wisdoms that have been with you for many lifetimes begin to come present as direct knowingness as you need it. And then you find that there's an absolute effortless in the way that you're always attuned. You're always tuned up. You're always connected. And you begin to move in that higher body that we call the bliss body. And you know what it is to be lifted into the Christ through the rapture. That is the exaltation of spirit that we call bliss or ananda. And so we are meant to fully enter into life. It is only in participating fully in your life that you can develop self-mastery and self-awareness. So our challenges are our self-elected means of developing the ability to control our energies and focus them in a way that creates in harmony with the divine and spiritual strength. So no life is without its ups and downs, and our response is left up to us to decide. So since we are in this time space, we are in a time lag, as we have often said, repeating that which we have already experienced and completed long ago, out of time. We're revisiting the scenarios that we have already completed long ago. So we're given a chance to edit, to respond with greater awareness, greater love, greater compassion, greater understanding, greater patience. We're being given yet another opportunity to look beyond the obvious outer form to the eminent divinity that every form veils. We're being taught to look beyond and see the beloved, our dearest beloved, in everyone, in everything. So I wanted to share with you something very deep. Our hearing and feeling, seeing, sensing, and taste are being exponentially expanded beyond the physical body, and they have no limit. In fact, the hearing is the very first thing to develop. That's the first thing, is the hearing, really hearing, having the ears to hear beyond the outer sounds to the inner sounds to eventually the sound of the silence. And then you tap into the realization that you are the living word itself, the divine that which is. You are the hue. You are the pranava, the om. And every name and every form is but another manifestation of your own self. And so the hearing and the feeling follows the hearing. And the feeling then directs the seeing. And the seeing then directs the sensing. And that, again, directs the taste. And when they all combine, the hearing, the feeling, the seeing, the sensing, the tasting, they converge into what we would call divine sight, deva drishti, where you see the good, the holy, the divine, the perfection, the innocence, in everything. That is the highest sight, where you see everything as the one that is, and you recognize it is your own self. So the hearing, feeling, seeing, sensing, and tasting all converge in ever more subtle insights, perceptions, seership, omniscience, living light codes, and direct recall. So when you go on the inner planes to be in the presence of the living scriptures of light, some of you have had this experience already, and you know what I'm talking about. The scriptures of light are alive. They're living. And as you look at them, they enter into your consciousness instantly with the knowing. They are remembering you back into your immortal self. You don't read them with your linear mind. They enter you as living light, because they were inscribed by beings that were part of the immortals, that encoded every single word with a state of absolute divine consciousness. Those of you that read the Shariat Kisugmad have often had that experience of seeing what looks like a book, but then when you go to read it, it turns into light, and suddenly you're engulfed in that knowing. That's what I'm talking about. It's also called the Torah Or. It's called other things. I had that experience when I was reading the Bible, when I was really in a state of open receptivity and devotion. A single line of scripture would become a corridor of infinite degrees of light. I would enter into that scripture, whatever it was, that became a corridor of golden light. That's what I'm talking about. That's part of what happens when all of your senses are brought to the most refined state of receptivity. Sometimes this impressed light on an object is called baraka. Baraka. I believe it's a Persian word, baraka. It's the divine essence, the luminosity of divine wisdom itself that radiates from objects and scriptures and things that a divine person has interacted with and has left that veneer of divine luminosity on that object. Sometimes it's called the Shakti. But it's deeper than what we would call Shakti. Well, we could call it Param Shakti, I suppose. But it's that energy that is ineradicable when a holy person has touched an object in a high state of divine illumination. It leaves that touch, including when you're blessed or touched by a master. I had Sai Baba's hand on my head blessing me. I didn't want to wash my hair ever again. But I didn't have to worry, because that touch can be seen throughout eternity once you've been touched by an avatar or divine being. That sign will remain in your aura forever. And all of you have been touched in some lifetime, or you definitely would not be listening right now to what this instrument is sharing. I'm simply reminding you of that which you already knew but just lost sight of in the busyness of trying to be a human that fits into this world. Which I'm so happy to tell you, you don't have to. Be in the world, but be true to yourself, and don't let the world cause you to be false to yourself or to anyone. Live in the authenticity of your own truth, your own understanding, whatever that is, because it'll keep expanding. You know, you let go every moment to the next and to the next and to the next. And looks like our time is up for this evening. Unfortunately, this is such a wonderful topic, I'd just like to keep going on it. So perhaps the divine spirit will bring it forward again. Who knows? I'm not in control of these things. So I suggest that you hang out with that divine immortal self that you are and see how much you can remember yourself back into the knowing that's always been in you and with you. You just perhaps forgot that you could remember it. You could recall it forward and put yourself in positions where that can happen, where you can call forward the ancient knowledge and wisdoms of what you've always been and remain still. So I trust this has been illuminating and expanding your sense of being, because that's the greatest gift that we can give one another, is to encourage our stepping beyond everything that would cause us to live small, when we are the very vastness of the cosmos itself. So, let's raise our hands and send our blessings to all sentient beings in this and all of the countless billions of worlds that are aspects of our own luminosity and omnipresence. And let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. And remember, you are creating. You are always creating. You are always extending infinite cosmic creativity. Divine blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.